Think about breakfast this morning. Maybe you had cereal with fruit, eggs, or toast with jam. Have you ever wondered who picked the strawberries in your cereal, gathered the grapes that became your jam, or harvested the wheat in your bread? For most of American history, the people who did this backbreaking work were almost completely invisible to the rest of the country. Their hard work made your food possible, but few people knew their names, their stories, or their struggles. Cesar Chavez was one of these workers. He became a leader who changed America by helping farm workers step out of the shadows and demand to be treated fairly. But to understand why his work mattered so much, you first need to understand why farm workers were forgotten in the first place. Cesar Chavez was born in 1927 in Arizona to a family whose parents had come from Mexico as children. His early years were happy. His family owned a small ranch in the North Gila Valley, where young Cesar played with horses, dogs, and cats. He gathered chicken eggs to trade with neighbors for bread. At night, he listened to his nearly 100-year-old grandmother tell stories and teach him prayers in Latin and Spanish. Then came disaster. When Cesar was about 10 years old, the Great Depression swept across America. His family lost their ranch. Everything changed. "I was like a wild duck with its wings clipped," Cesar later said about losing his childhood home. The Chavez family packed their belongings into a 1927 Studebaker and headed to California, joining hundreds of thousands of other desperate families searching for work in the fields. The world of play that Cesar had known, interrupted only by chores on the family farm, was replaced by a world of unrelieved work on other people's land. He slept in a series of tents, shacks, and hovels. Sometimes home was the family car itself. Working in the fields was nothing like working on his own family's ranch. "Unlike the ranch, the work was drudgery," Cesar remembered. "It was hard, unbearably hard. He worked with a short-handled hoe that forced him to bend over for hours, hurting his back. He watched his father, a proud master horseman, get tricked and cheated." For the first time in his life, Cesar went hungry, and his family searched for wild mustard greens just to have something to eat. Cesar had known a different life, and that knowledge stayed with him forever. He understood that the suffering of farm workers was wrong. He understood this not because he read about it in a book, but because he had lived through it himself. Who were the farm workers of California? Over the years, they came from many places. In the early 1900s, Chinese and Japanese immigrants did much of the farm labor. Later, Filipino workers came. By the early 1930s, Mexican and Mexican-American families like the Chavez family made up the majority of California's 200,000 farm workers. Just a few years later, though, a period known as the Dust Bowl reached its peak. This was a time when terrible droughts and dust storms destroyed farms across Oklahoma, Texas, and Arkansas. Because of the impact of the Dust Bowl, about 400,000 Caucasian Americans fled to California hoping to find work. They too ended up in the fields, competing for jobs with Mexican workers who were already there. Life for all these farm workers was harsh. Investigators who visited labor camps in the 1930s found conditions that were indescribably wretched. One investigator found a two-room cabin where 41 people from Oklahoma were living. Another described a one-room shack where 15 men, women, and children lived in terrible filth. Workers bathed in and drank from the same irrigation ditches. Some families lived under bridges or in shacks made of cardboard. By the 1960s, when Cesar Chavez began his most important work, conditions had not improved much. Farm workers earned about $2 a day. The average farm worker in 1960s America lived to be only 49 years old, which is much shorter than how long most Americans lived at the time. These farm workers labored under the hot sun all day, exposed to pesticides and chemicals. Some farms didn't even provide water to drink. Here is a difficult truth. Farm workers were deliberately left out of laws that protected other American workers. In the 1930s, President Franklin Roosevelt signed important laws called the New Deal to help workers and rebuild America after the Great Depression. One of the most important was the National Labor Relations Act of 1935, which gave workers the right to form unions, which are groups that could bargain with employers for better pay and safer working conditions. But farm workers were purposely excluded from this law. So were domestic workers, like housekeepers and nannies. This wasn't an accident. Powerful politicians from southern states agreed to support the New Deal only if these workers were left out. Many businesses in the South, dependent upon these farm workers, wanted to keep their costs low so they could keep their prices low and sell more goods. The result was that for decades, farm workers had no legal right to organize and fight for better treatment. For similar reasons, other laws also excluded farm workers. The Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 guaranteed a minimum wage and limited child labor, but not for farm workers. The Social Security Act provided benefits for unemployed workers, but again, not farm workers. While factory workers in cities gained new protections, farm workers remained in a separate, unprotected world. Several things kept farm workers invisible to most Americans. Geography. Farm workers lived and worked in rural areas, far from big cities where most newspapers, radio stations, and later television stations were based. It was hard for journalists to report on their conditions when the fields were so far away. Language. Many farm workers were immigrants who spoke Spanish, Tagalog from the Philippines, or other languages. They couldn't easily communicate their struggles to English-speaking Americans. Movement. Farm workers followed the harvests, moving from place to place. This constant migration made it hard to build lasting communities or organizations. Just when workers might start organizing in one area, the harvest ended and everyone scattered. Fear. Many farm workers were immigrants who feared deportation, meaning being sent back to their home countries. Some employers threatened workers with deportation if they complained or tried to organize. This fear kept many workers silent. Deliberate isolation. Growers and police sometimes worked to keep farm workers separated from supporters in cities. In the 1930s, reporters were actually arrested for trying to write stories about farm labor strikes. In 1934, a sheriff stopped a group of people from Los Angeles who were bringing aid to striking farm workers. He handcuffed everyone in the caravan and had them arrested at the county line. By the early 1960s, the conditions were ripe for change. Television had connected Americans to each other in new ways. The civil rights movement was teaching people that racial injustice could be challenged. White Americans who had supported Black Americans' struggle for equality might also support Mexican-American farm workers. But the farm workers still needed leaders who could help them find their voices and connect their struggle to the rest of America. They needed strategies that could overcome their isolation, their poverty, and their lack of legal protections. This is where Cesar Chavez, along with a remarkable woman named Dolores Huerta, would step in. In 1962, Chavez moved his family to Delano, California, in the San Joaquin Valley. Together with Huerta, he began building something new, a movement that would finally make farm workers visible to the nation. In the sections that follow, you will learn about the harsh realities farm workers faced, how Chavez and Huerta built their movement, the powerful tactics they used, and why the struggle for farm worker rights continues today. But everything that comes next begins with understanding this foundation. For generations, the people who harvested America's food were deliberately excluded from the laws that protected other workers and hidden from the eyes of most Americans. Cesar Chavez knew this injustice personally because he had lived it. That knowledge would fuel everything he did. Discussion questions. Imagine you were a 9-year-old farm worker in the 1940s, moving from camp to camp with your family, working in the fields instead of going to school. If you could send a letter to someone in a big city explaining what your life was like, what would you most want them to understand about your daily experience? Continue listening by purchasing the unit study for Cesar Chavez and the farm workers on palacenter.com.